Welcome to Sense, Sensibility, and Chaos, where we overthink every decision so you don't have to. But let's be honest, you probably will.
I'm Busy, the human version of an overflowing to-do list, constantly debating every option before inevitably picking the first one I saw.
I'm well-read, fully capable of deep research and the perfect coffee shop order.
And I'm Tall Girl, who makes a choice in 5 seconds or not at all. What is the worst that could happen?
If choosing a movie takes longer than watching one, this episode is for you.
So settle in and let's unravel the chaos of decision making.
On today's episode, we're talking about the absolute exhaustion that comes with making choices, big ones, small ones, and the ones that somehow leave us questioning our entire existence. Let's get into it.
Also, I'd like to say that I laughed at Red so hard that my back popped. Just let's put that out there.
So you guys didn't edit these because I put like 6 seconds into it and I'm like, surely they'll edit it. And I'm like, they left it exactly as it was.
All right. So let's talk about some simple why simple decisions feel impossible.
Yeah. So there's actually psychology behind this. It has to do with the levels of stress that you're feeling. So if you are a highly stressed person, the inability to make a decision that is simple or that is non-urgent actually goes away. You focus all of your decision-making capabilities on the things that are of urgency or importance, as opposed to like, what movie do you want to watch? What do we want to order for dinner? Everybody's been there, right? Where you ask your partner, what are we going to have for dinner tonight? And they're like, I don't know. What do you want? And you're like, I don't know. What do you want? And it just goes round and round that way.
So, yeah, I've learned to change that because I saw that you would say, I don't care. And inevitably, they're going to pick something I want nothing to do with, or I didn't realize I didn't want. So now I'm at the point where usually I will say, I am open to let's say we're doing dinner. I am open to dinner options except for burgers, sushi, and anything that's like soup, like, you know, no ramen or anything of that nature. But, or I'll do the opposite where I'll say, I would be interested in, excuse me, I would be interested in burgers, pizza, or some form of Asian. Do any of those interest you? And go that way. Because you're right, we can get into this whole circle of never picking. Well, what do you want? No, what do you want? But I want what you want. No, I don't have time for that. I'm hungry.
Ever see on YouTube or something, it was a couple that they took one of those kid toys with an arrow and they like pull a string and it's
been, I saw that.
And they put like restaurants, like if we can't decide, we pull the string. And
brilliant.
I'm like, this is genius. Like, I don't care where we go. I will find something on the menu that I can eat. I'm not picky. So I'd rather you pick the restaurant, because I will say, like, you're reading off your list of no's and I'm like, I was torn between sushi or udon for dinner tonight.
I meant for the situation.
I know, but it's like, I'd rather you pick the restaurant you're happier with, and I will find something on the menu I can deal with. I'm less picky about it because I'll eat more weird and varied and random things, so I'm not stuck to like 3 restaurants. I can find happiness almost anywhere that doesn't involve mayo.
I mean, for me, it's anywhere that I could vary the level of spiciness, not seasoned or spiced, just how spicy, like hot. Pepper hot, because
I will say, and I have written this sometimes, like it's the choice of the person who makes the food. You and my mom share that white girl palate. I have written in it like no spice, whitest of white girls with mayo and raisin on white bread sandwich.
How dare you?
And then like it inevitably comes and even I taste it and I'm like, this is spicy for me. Like, why are you? Those people made a decision to ignore my very humorous and detailed, like, my mom looks at a peppercorn and her tongue starts to tingle, whereas I would like to just lick the ghost pepper 24/7. I don't know how I came from her. I am the end result of entire multiple generations of no spice. I got all of it.
I'm still offended you think of me of the white girl variety that will be putting raisins and mayo in anything like that. First of all, no, I am not a raisin fan in general. I can eat them if they're in like a cookie or something. I prefer them not to be. And second of all, you heinous witch, I season the hell out of my stuff. I am not that kind. That's why I said spicy, not seasoned, because you've all seen my spice cabinet, and we know that both of all three of us will go wherever to find the appropriate seasonings for whatever cuisine we're cooking. So bite your hateful tongue.
I'm sorry, and how do you feel about that substance referred to as mayonnaise?
I don't mind mayonnaise.
Yeah,
Okay, go heave somewhere else.
make choices every day. I make the right choices every day. I avoid that moisture-making substance.
That's fine, but I have an issue with you referring to me as that kind of a white person who doesn't like mayonnaise, who will do mayonnaise and raisins. I hope your pillows are warm on all sides tonight. All your pillows. You pillow princess. You have pillows everywhere. I don't even know. You see, like, that was a real rough. I
Please
got
don't let me
you.
drop raisins off at your house in bulk by accident. May Costco misdeliver this year's raisin supply to your front door.
When you get an order of spam and mayonnaise, don't ask who did it. I'm gonna literally bring it myself.
I'll know. I'll
Okay.
also be. I'll be reciprocating in kind.
That's let it start.
Meanwhile, I'm just sitting here like, I would love some sushi with spicy mayo.
So no, as long as
This
I
is
can
our friends. We just
alter the level of
balance.
spicy and I don't eat raw meat like sushi or like stuff of that nature, usually.
Have you
I
tried
can get around with everything else pretty much.
like oysters, tartare?
I don't.
Nothing raw, raw? Ceviche?
Ceviche, I've tried.
Okay.
I'm better with
Ceviche
that. But raw
is
oysters,
good. Ceviche has
sushi,
acids.
nay.
I mean, it's not really cooked, it's chemically altered. I'll argue that point, but it's
Yeah, I
not.
know.
It's still a cooking process. Scientifically speaking, it's a cooking process.
And Red, question, scientifically speaking,
Don't even.
when you make
I
a
know fully what you're about
mayonnaise,
to say, but I'm like, don't even.
oh, I will go there with the mayonnaise because my understanding, our tall friend here, the egg, isn't it cooked?
Yes, it is cooked through the
Okay.
acid process. Yes.
It doesn't. I wasn't arguing that the reason I didn't like mayo is because I thought it was raw egg. I was
You said
arguing
that.
because it's an unnecessary invention. Find flavor elsewhere, people. Elsewhere. Not inside the mayonnaise jar. It's. Oh.
Oh, I love annoying
I would rather peel gum off the underside of the desk that wasn't my invention than.
you.
That's a choice I make every day. Of the average 35,000 decisions we make in a day, consistently check off every day, first decision of the day, no mayonnaise.
All right. I mean,
34,999 to go.
that's a lot.
That is a lot. I mean, I guess some of them are like more subconscious,
I was
unconscious.
just going to ask, are they
I'm
like, should
choosing
I
not to
breathe?
like bring violence to the office today kind of stuff. Like,
How do they calculate that? Like, what constitutes the making decision? Is it including like your body choosing to breathe?
I feel like this is somebody who also threw out there like 10,000 steps a day is what every human being needs to be a physically fit adult. Like, I feel like this is like true but also untrue because you make choices all the time. Will I put the cap back on the toothpaste? If it's every little thing, like, oh, I'm not going to hit this car, this car, this car, or this car, like 35,000 non-hit cars between me
Yeah.
and my New York City commute,
Fair.
I'm done
Fair,
making
fair.
decisions for the day.
Okay.
Although I wonder if you can sit there with a counter and really drive people crazy. Like, I'm deciding. Oh, I'm deciding something right now. Oh, bet you don't know that I'm
Well,
making
no.
decisions right, left, and center.
But what about if you're making a decision in your mind that you're not physically acting out? Like if you're driving right now, but you're physically thinking of something else in your mind that has nothing to do with you driving. Does that count?
Pass?
Yeah.
All
It's
right.
an unconscious decision, but it's still a decision.
Fair
Or not
enough.
unconscious, it's conscious, but it's not physical. It's not a physical thing.
So I think, decisions, you have to talk about decision fatigue. And I think that modern life, there's just so much everywhere all the time.
Yeah,
It's
absolutely are. Too
we
many
have
choices.
we have TV, social media, apps, email, phone, text.
Clothing.
Everything. And
Where
listen,
do
it's
you
good to
want to
have
get out of?
options. It is. But I think this is why so many people nowadays feel the fatigue of picking.
I think it's why, like, Kim Kardashian's house makes me so nervous because it is like an empty cavern of nothingness. Like, nothing is out, everything is organized, everything has a bin. I think that is, like, for some people, it needs to be that way because everything else is chaotic, so therefore your house should have like the minimal amount of things so you don't have to make choices. I have two sets of pajamas, one's in the washer and one is clean, therefore it's not really a choice. I wear the one that isn't in the washing machine.
Yeah. And there's something to be said for that too. Like people like Albert Einstein or Carl Jung, who had one outfit and they wore multiples of that single outfit, like white button-down shirt, brown tie, khaki pants, and sneakers. And they have multiple pairs of those things so that every day they get up, they wear the same thing. They don't have to make any kind of decision regarding that, and it leaves the brain open for more important decisions. I'm not saying it's the right way for everybody, but there is something to be said for that kind of
But who's
simplicity.
the chick who made the one single drop of blood and I can tell whether or not you have cancer?
Elizabeth.
Theranos or something it was. She tried that. She tried doing the like, I wear one outfit. Because she was a woman, people were like, absolutely not. Like, yeah, it's great for guys in tech who can do it, but if you're just Bob the accountant and you show up to the office every day in the same outfit. Which I do prefer, kind of like the European setting of people have work outfits and home outfits. So you do go to work for a week in the same outfit. Nobody feels differently about it. In the US, like you can't repeat an outfit and you definitely can't wear the same dress to like, we put it on ourselves. Like, isn't that the dress you wore to Amy's wedding? Like, okay, yeah, that necklace is different, but that's the Amy wedding dress, right? And it's like, are we kidding?
Oh, meanwhile, I will flat out say, yeah, I wore this to my cousin's wedding, like, oh, I had this from before. Like, if I'm not motivated or need to buy a new outfit for a wedding and I have something that's perfectly acceptable, I am not going to care. I have bigger things.
I think I like the choices. I mean, there are ones like Netflix and I do not agree because there's just too many and I don't trust people's reviews. So like I'm judging based on the cover. Like how good was your cover art? That I get finicky on. But like I like where we live because we do have, at least 15 ethnic food choices for dinner. Whereas your friend who lives out in the
Oh, more
country is
than
like, we
that.
have a pizza place, we have a Chinese place. And I'm like, we have a Greek Ethiopian fusion restaurant. Like, on the off chance it wasn't enough for us to have within 50 miles, we have to have at least 50 ethnic restaurants.
Oh, more. I mean, what was the place we went to, right? The Peruvian Japanese?
Oh, that sounds good.
Oh, yeah, that was really good.
Because, and what we learned was that, I mean, from this is the, like anything else, immigration, was it Japanese or Chinese? I can't remember.
Japanese.
Japanese influx to Peru and their cuisines, and this restaurant just was a fusion of that, but it wasn't outside of the norm. You might think like, oh, that's an odd combo, but it comes from the history of Peru. So like then I fall down a Peruvian Pinterest hole of looking for recipes. I know, big shock. But yeah, I think we have a lot of options and for dinner, but I think also with like when you were mentioning about Netflix, I don't know about you guys, where I'll see something or whatever streaming service or reading a book, and you're like, oh, I want to do that. But then the energy to actually, like, I save it to my list. I want to read it later. But then sometimes the energy to have to, and next, maybe this goes more to energy than decision, to put the effort in to watch the new show or that movie I wanted,
Yeah, to
or to read the
emotionally
book.
invest in something. Yeah, that I think that does go back to the stress level. If you're stuck on making the decision to emotionally invest in something, your stress level is going to dictate how much you have to invest in that particular item. So if you're sitting there stressed out as all get out for some other reason, yeah, I would like to watch this, but not right this second, so it goes in the ad to watch later, you know?
Yeah, I think that's also despite all the lovely varieties that we do have for cuisines and whatnot, there are times when it is going to be a bowl of cereal or it is going to be a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Why? Because that is all I can muster the energy to care, make a decision about. Or a grilled cheese sandwich. And man, does that feel like a good grilled cheese sandwich? Are you kidding me? You could add maybe bacon to it if you have it, but get it perfectly crisp. I'm happy.
With vegetables on the side and a pickle
Well, I mean,
because
we know you and your pickles. We know.
and pickles.
And I think we all have stress, whatever. It's like flip a coin kind of thing. Like, there are moments where you're like, honestly, whatever the outcome is, like, choose right or left, whatever. Like, at this point, I am so stressed out that either option is going to be fine. So, like, flip a coin just to get past this moment.
I also think that there's something to be said for the lack of choice. Like, if we didn't have 15 different streaming apps to watch something on, we would be more apt to actually make a choice about what it is we're going to watch. So if I, you know, if I didn't have to search through Max and Netflix and Hulu and AMC and I'd be more likely to find something that I wanted to watch because I didn't have to scroll through all of these different choices that I didn't want to make to begin with.
That's fair.
I say that people like keep The Office, Friends, Gilmore Girls kind of like on repeat. Golden Girls, like they watch them over and over and over again, so like they find a comfort show so they don't have to choose anything else. And that's why people get so upset when like Netflix pulls a show because they're like, no.
I think it
I
also,
mean,
there's also not only having to pick the show, but when you're saying comfort, because you know how it's going to end. You
you don't have
know,
to totally pay attention to it. You
right.
can
It could be background, it could be background noise, and it could just be playing. And if you have to do like where you're, maybe you're cleaning up your house, and you could just have it on, and you know what's going to happen. You don't have to invest more energy. You already know the outcome. It's going to be whatever insert emotional ending you think it's going to be dramatic. It's going to be sad. It's going to be happy. It's whatever you're looking for in that moment. Excuse me. You know it's going to be that and deliver, so you don't have to. And also, I think there's this past week or so, I've had a moment like I've been in my British period drama feels. So it was Jane Eyre, it was a Pride and Prejudice, it was stuff of that nature, because I didn't want to, I wasn't feeling well, so I didn't have the extra energy to exert into doing learning a new show and then being disappointed if I didn't like it. So I think that sometimes is, like I don't want to, my energy is limited or my time is limited to begin with. I don't want to waste it and be disappointed. So Life does that enough. I don't need my shows to do that to me as well.
You not finish the season? Like, can you watch three episodes and just be like out?
Oh, yeah, if
Yeah.
I don't like something, yeah.
See, I will get to the end of the season. I might not watch it for forever, but like American TV shows tend to go like 10 seasons, and by season three, I'm like, this is starting to get really bad. I'll finish season three and I just won't watch the rest, but I can't stop halfway. Like, I need you to put a bow on the end of it. I can't just like two of the worst books I've ever read in my life. Like I regretted every page I read, but I made it to the end of the book because I couldn't.
Especially with books, I will stop. I
It
will stop.
depends on, like, if either one of you recommended that you really need to read this book or watch this series or something of that nature, you will like this. And I'm a couple pages in, a couple episodes in, and I'm doubting your sanity and our friendship. I might question you and say, but why are you making me, what have I done? What offense am I paying for here? And then you're like, yeah, it's a slow start. Or give it time, but the end or the middle it picks up. Okay, then I will do it. But there have been times when I try and start a show and I'm trying to expand my horizon. And then I go through phases. Like for a while I was going through a lot of foreign shows because I enjoyed reading the subtitles and hearing the different languages because I like to hear the accents to get familiar with what countries and how the languages sound. So I was into a whole bunch of like, I had a Swedish thing going on, I had a Finnish maybe, I don't know. And then like Korean, so Indian, I was watching all sorts of different things, but sometimes I just can't get into it, not because of any of the bad, just like any show, I just couldn't get into it. So if I really can't get into it, then I'm just going to say, sorry, you are not it, and just move on.
I think a perfect example of that with something that we've all read is Eleanor Oliphant is completely fine. You guys wanted nothing to do with it, and I was
Oh.
sitting there in my feels, bawling the entire time, couldn't wait to turn the next page.
I made it through that book because of audiobook, and I'm not even gonna lie. Like, if somebody
I
had
could not.
read to me, I never would have made the end. We are all so lucky that there was an audiobook. This was like pre-ChatGPT, so I couldn't have gotten it read to me, but like, yeah. I mean, we had a conversation about it, and I was like, my God, just move on.
Yeah, and we different perspectives. I did get at something out of the experience, but I could not finish that book. When we were
Awesome.
doing the book chat and we were the book group, the what the hell is that thing called? A book club, and I was like, nope, couldn't finish it. I just
I think that's why it's great because we bring those other perspectives. Because a book club of people just like me, we all would have been like, this is the worst thing ever. But then, well read brings it to the group like, this is my everyday existence. And it's like, oh, so this is actually,
Relatable.
your everyday existence frustrates the crap out of me.
I expect nothing else, to be perfectly honest with you.
Also, like, I think you judge yourself way more harshly. Like, I think, like, I did finish it because I was like, because you were so emphatic, like, this is me. And I'm like, this is not how I see you. Like, yes, there's parts of you I don't know. And yes, there's probably parts of you that you don't express fully. But it's like, I think she's also being incredibly harsh on herself because, like, no.
No, I agree with that. Where I, on the other hand, had a when she expressed why the book meant so much to her and how she related to it, I just had a meltdown. I had a meltdown of why don't I have,
Why aren't I mentally ill?
why don't I have depression and why can't I connect? Because to me,
Why isn't depression a choice for me?
Because I Red will tell you it was more because I wanted to be able to connect and understand what you go through, and but she just sat there laughing at me. She said, "Are you literally crying because you don't have depression and anxiety that you're upset?" I'm like, I want to understand how I could be there for you, and if I don't have the things to understand. So
Yeah,
yeah.
we talked about it. Talked about that in one of our last episodes, like, you know, the intrusive thoughts and the whatever. Tall was concerned that she wouldn't be able to be there for you in the moment.
Right.
It's a beautiful thing when you have three people with such varied perspectives and you all center on the same media to find out what the different reactions are, because they can bring you closer, even if you guys didn't like the book and I love the book. The reaction to why I love the book ended up making us all rethink our perspectives on the other people in our lives. And you know, that's when you do make a decision to actually sit down and read something or watch something that changes your perspective. When you do emotionally invest in that, you know, it's a really amazing thing to come out on the other side with a different look at something that you hadn't thought about before.
Fair, very fair. So let's, when we're making decisions individually, how do we think we each approach this?
Differently,
Well,
very
obviously,
very very differently.
I'm asking that was a question for you to give the input so the audience could understand. I know very differently. They don't know. Can you please
I jump
pretend
off
like
into the pool
you
into
know
the
what's going
freezing cold
on?
pool. As long as there's water in the pool, I tend to jump in it. And it's like the biggest decisions, the ones that will affect my life the most, I'm like, let's do it. Cool. The smaller ones, like, oh, did I misstitch this cross stitch? Should I undo this? Those are the ones that'll hold me up for 3 days. Like, this microscopic thing isn't perfect. Should I stop my life for this? This thing that will fundamentally change everything about me for the rest of my life. Coolsies.
See, and I don't see that about you. So what, give me an example of where you feel the big thing you just jumped into.
Okay, so for the Toronto house, we're gonna put a dining room table on that back sun porch to turn it into like a dining room because the kitchen's kind of small. But I've been looking for over a year and a half at three different websites at three
Like
different
a perfect
tables.
dining room table.
Like, the biggest fear is one of these tables is gonna sell out, and that perfect table is the table that I won't have had. Worse if I walk into somebody's house and it is the perfect table and I sit down on it and it's the perfect table, and for the rest of my life, I will just dead stare this other dining room table, possibly set it on fire for just existing. It's been a year and a half for a dining room table. But could I buy a mountain house in Alaska in under 10 minutes because it has a pool? Yes. But yeah, it's been a year and a half on a dining room table.
That's fair.
Because
That's
what
fair.
if it isn't the perfect dining room table? Or what if you sit in the chairs and they're the most uncomfortable thing ever? And because they're all on websites, but none of them have a showroom, it's not like I can sit in them, so I have to use my mental imagination. If a 22-inch wide seat is fundamentally better than a 21-inch wide seat, it's been a year and a half. It will probably be another 4 years before I commit to a dining room table.
I mean, sure. When it comes to something that you're going to sit in every day or sit at every day and utilize every day, like, yeah, making sure that it's the thing that you want it to be can be a difficult decision. Can be a difficult decision.
Right, Red, what is your approach to things, do you think?
I tend to be. I look at things from all angles, and then once I determine the best angle for my energy, I am full speed ahead and damn the torpedoes. Yeah, I will sit down and think something through to all of its ends, its various and sundry ends, and then pick what I think is the best scenario out of the myriad of positions that I may have on something.
I think for me, excuse me, I do a lot of, I will do the research.
Yeah, you will.
There will be the research. I will do the deep dive. But then I will, what might hold me up, depending on what the decision is and who is involved. Mm-hmm. Because if I need, I might know the answer and know what the next five steps need to be. But if I need to account for a family member or friends and their input on something, that's going to hold me back sometimes, because it's not, when I recognize it's not just on my timetable or what I need. For an example, when I moved into my house, my brother moved in with me when I, for the first couple years, and my mother was also moving out of where she had been. So his stuff ended up in my garage. I had stuff in the garage. My mother ended up, stuff that she couldn't take where it ended up in my garage. And it has been there. And I keep saying, guys, I'd like to park my car in the garage, please. And we all talk about this and we say, yes, yes, yes. But then inevitably, or I'm like, all right, great, we're finally doing this. Cool. And I know those steps and things are going into storage units and it's not mine. And then something will come up that they're dealing with, like, you know, that they're having their professional lives. And so I will pull back, because yes, I can go do the things and I could just move what needs to be done. But if I need to ask them for their input, or, you know, are you keeping this, throwing this out kind of thing, and it's in the midst of their, whatever, you know, their busy season or something of that nature, I don't want to have to put them in that position where I am imposing on them. Even though their stuff is in my house, in my garage, I'm going to view it as, this is a group effort, and I don't want to impose on their mental time and space when it is a nice to have for me. I'm not dying. My, you know, like, my life is continuing completely fine without my car in the garage, but that's an example. So big shock if you've been listening, emotions are going to come into place here.
Honestly, I would have given them a deadline, and on that deadline, their stuff would have been in two separate storage containers, paid up for 3 months each, and I would have just handed them a key and been like, and my problem is now solved. But this is how we come at it, very much differently.
Yeah.
Yes. That, yes.
Like, you're mad at me, but also my car is in the garage, so I can kind of live with you being mad at me.
Yeah. And some of the, yeah, there are times when there are absolutely little things like that to me, is because that's a big thing that would require, not only, even if I want to do that, that requires my time and effort then. And for them to move their stuff at this point, I'm like, no, that's your stuff. You need to handle that. And I don't want to waste my time anymore physically doing it. So I compartmentalize, and I will put that mental energy that I've on frustration just away, because I have other things to worry about. And I'm sure at some point I'll just finally get to a point of like, okay, here's a plan. Sit down. Here's a printout. Here are the deadlines. This is what I've already done. This is how I've worked it out. And this is what your marching orders are. So I'm sure we know that's coming. It's, the plan is written in my head. We know this. The three of us all know this. But that decision will be made when I've had enough. And we'll need to, and it matters enough for me to enforce it.
I mean, and some decisions are like, this is what I want, this is what I decide, but it might not actually be action for the next 3.5 years for a myriad of reasons.
And do you ever think that when you're making decisions, it's based on just making what's good enough for right now, versus what actually is probably the best decision for you overall?
Look, am I hungry, and are the two closest places like fried chicken or like fried dough balls? I mean, like, I'm probably going to choose one of the two. Is it the healthiest long-term decision to go eat something fried tonight for dinner so I can get back to the office to do something? No. But it's just one of those, like, in the moment, it was the faster of the two solutions, and that was okay-ish. The long-term ones, I will stress, but it comes down to a place of comfort. Like, me moving your stuff out of my garage is probably going to piss you off and is probably going to put a strain on our relationship for a while, but I'm weighing my happiness over yours. And in that moment, like, okay, I'm good because my happiness ranks higher than your happiness, and I've realized that that's more important to me than worst pos like I will do worst possible outcome is we stop being friends over this. Okay, not you guys, not you before. Wow, wow. But like, can I deal with the worst possible outcome? Can I deal with it? Yeah. Okay, then I'm gonna make this decision because just stressing and hee-hawing about it for the next 6 years is gonna give me agita like no other. My life goal is to like reduce the agita that I don't intentionally give myself on other topics.
I think that's something that you're better at than we are, is prioritizing yourself and your own needs and wants and comforts over other people's. And that comes down to how we were raised.
I mean, it's not always the best because you guys also have the balance of like you consider everybody, and I'm like, you factor in, but it's more like a 75-25.
Yeah. It's more along the lines of, again, the being the eldest daughter and having
The families that we do,
I was gonna say,
having
you make parent decisions, like you put everybody kind of above you.
Oh, yes. It is almost painful sometimes when you two will, when you might say to either one of us, like, but this is about you, your decision. It's like, oh, this hurts. I
It's
like,
so easy from the outside to be like, get this job, do this thing, pay this bill, go here, date them, do this.
yeah.
It's super easy to look at other people's lives and be like, this, and this will fix it all. Like, just stop dating terrible people and we could fix all your problems in 3 days. But like when it comes to yourself, it's also a little bit harder because you're stressing it and you're stressing the 99 angles and outcomes where with fresh eyes and a distance of 50 yards, it's so like, oh, this is nothing.
Right. And our decisions, like you're saying, affect also have 5, 10, 20, depending on what the decision is that we're talking about, people, and with that, the relationships and the personalities and their stress levels, and sometimes not making the decision at this moment is sometimes, and I've said to you guys, there have been times when I've made decisions. And is it what I want? No. Is it where, how I want to handle things? No. But it is easier for me to just handle my stress than the additional people who are involved in that decision and what stress it's going to bring and how they're going to react and how they're going to be, and because of the proximity. Now, if it's someone who lives across the country who I never see, that's easier to make a difference, to make a decision on. If it's someone who is in a 20-mile radius that I see frequently enough where I'm going to have to hear about it, then yeah, the decision becomes in the long term, what is better dealing? Am I able to deal with the stress of this decision not being made? Is that easier for me versus the stress of the decision being made and the outcome and fallout that comes with that? And again, it comes down to mostly people.
Like when I overanalyze and I get way too deep into the weeds, I tend to make the choice that I don't want. And then it can work out. Sometimes it works out. The gut things have worked out better long term overall for me. So it's like, like the snap decision has actually always worked out best inevitably. The ones where I sit down and I'm like, oh, let's plot all these points. I usually sway myself into the right decision, which is generally like, but this isn't what I want. Like, should I have become a lawyer so I could have a more stable career? Yes, but like, I would hate every moment of my existence if I was a lawyer. Like, would it have been the right career choice? Yeah. You can work until like lawyers, accountants work until they die, essentially. Like, or
Yeah.
like, oh, I could have become a teacher. Like, I can't stand kids most days, but not all kids. I love a lot of them, but like in a school environment where you don't get a choice in your classroom, I wouldn't last very long. But like, would it have been a more sensible career choice to get something with a pension or something that I can work until the day I die with? Yes. But did I choose what I choose? Yeah. And I'm infinitely happier for that. But it was more a snap decision than a like a intentional career choice. Like if they had given you a list, sophomore year of high school and been like, look at this list and choose your future, like I would have been like, no, I'll drop out now. Like if this is the end, I'll just drop out now. Like I don't want to do this.
It's funny that you say about the lawyers, because since I was born, I've had people in my life, like great uncles, cousins, whoever, have forever said to me, why didn't you become, you should become an attorney. You should have been a lawyer, because of how I like to,
Debate.
I was going to say engage in heated conversation, but debate's a nice way of saying that.
Just working on becoming a control freak, so like let's ease her into debating.
So I, it's funny that people have always said, like, you should have been a lawyer. You should, no, just because you are good at something does not mean it is the path that you should be on. I enjoy, people say this also about baking and cooking. Why don't you run a bakery? I enjoy that because it is something I enjoy, cooking and baking, for both myself and people in my life, and is a love language, but it is a different love language than people who choose to be chefs. And as I have multiple people in my life who were trained professional chefs, that was their decision to make, and it's a, it hits a different happiness for them than what it does for me. So I think that, how we both have that the decision, but one of us went, yep, I want to make this a career choice. And the other's like, no, this is just something I do. Listen, if I ever hit lotto and I have all my big bills taken care of and I am and free to be what I want, sure, maybe I would do something like that. I don't know if I would. I don't know. But
Maybe a pop-up every once in a while, but if I hit
I know
lotto, do
that
I
I could
want to get
do.
up at 4 a.m. to make the dough?
Like the
No.
farmers markets around here, that what I would do. That's fun.
Huh.
Do a couple of times during the year or something, sure. But I think that's kind of like the same thing with decision. Just because you are good at something doesn't mean that is the path for you.
Mean, I like to argue, but I hate rules. Like, why going into an industry that is all about rules or making them? Like, no, I want to bend them as to the, I would end up a mob lawyer. Like, just bending the rule and interpret the most creative, like,
But you are
what?
so, like, you are so, like, authority, like, law, like, you get so, like, need we remind you going into Canada and the Border Patrol,
Oh,
how you
yeah.
freak out?
I would rat my own clients out as soon as the gavel got hit. It's like, judge, so guilty. By the way, three bodies under the West Side Highway. You'll see them in duffel bags.
So that's why I'm like, I don't know
No,
about
but
the.
also like you care way too much about your clients. You would start to cry like when the guilty verdict came in. You'd be like, but you can't. This is gonna destroy their lives forever.
No, actually, the odd thing is, as emotional as I am when it comes to if you did something wrong, I'm of the burn 'em kind of mentality.
Oh no, you'd be a plaintiff's attorney. You would never do the other way.
Probably, but I would still, like, if there's something like, if you contaminated the water and it affected a whole area and all that, like, I would want to take you and nail you to the cross.
I'd make you drink your water. I'd feed you a lot of salt and make you drink your water, and we'd never make it to court. I'm not saying I would for legal reasons,
Hypothetically,
just the theoretical
allegedly,
hypothetical. Yeah, that.
for
There's a
legal
snap decision
purposes.
on how to. I have no problem deciding how terrible people should end up.
Correct.
Correct.
We should never put me in charge of thumbs up, thumbs down.
No
Like from 7-Up.
gladiatorial arenas for you.
I should never be a dictator leader. People are like, oh, you should run for office. I'm like, no, I shouldn't. You don't want
No.
to see what happens if I ever got into like. Do you want to see what my debate speech would look like?
I have no desire to deal with all that. None.
This would be how I actually get arrested. Your mother. Followed by a fist or two.
Oh, let's be honest. If you were in a public office and your mother did not like what you were doing, tall girl, that would be what would be controlling making your decisions. Your mother would be like, listen, I think we need to talk about what you said in that meeting the other day. You weren't nice in your tone.
Yeah, I need you to send an apology letter.
I need you to write, and I'm going to write one as well because I'm ashamed that the child I raised spoke in such a tone.
And again, given our current political climate, I feel like mom would give me a few exceptions.
She might. She
If
might, but
I was to run in Canada, maybe I would stand a chance.
we know your mother. She's a wonderful woman and would expect you to be of a certain level.
Now, what would mom do? Is generally like, yeah, she would make the right and polite choice. The yeah.
Do you ever find yourself making a group of decisions all at once just to get it done with and or make your life easier? Like, or I know we've talked about avoiding to make decisions because of the hassle, but do you ever do a whole thing to set yourself up to just be done with?
I don't think so. Like I don't let things pile up that I would then sit there. Like I will, like if there's a pile of cord, like I keep electrical cords for things because I'm convinced that, like the charger for my speak and spell might like come back into popularity and I might need that. So like I will sit down and eventually have this like keep or toss kind of stuff, but like I don't let life decisions. Like it's there, it needs to be removed, either yes or no. Like I don't let them stack up. I think it would just add exponentially to my stress to not deal with it. I would be more stressed out that I hadn't made, like sat down to make a decision than like making the decisions good or bad.
Yeah, I think I've. It's a rare situation where I'm putting together a group of different decisions in order to make my life a little bit easier or what have you. Mostly because I deal with things as they come up. So if I have to. If there's a point where there are like six or seven different decisions to be made and they all involve the same sort of topic, maybe, but it's a rare thing.
Also, like, I haven't ever moved to, like, I'm gonna move to Indiana and become an international spy and paint my new dining room like Robin's egg blue. Like, I've never run into that kind of a.
Those are some interesting life decisions that all.
Want to become an international spy.
Listen, Carmen San
International
Diego,
man in
I you
motion.
can go
Just
do
like
that.
the air miles alone.
Go get them, Tiger. I support this. I
I'm
mean, it
not
might
ever
be a
able
bit
to talk
hard
about it, so how do you know I'm not in Indiana and that I'm not an international?
dun dun dun. You could be.
She probably is.
We're not together in a room. You have no idea where I am.
Oh my God, the decision of it all. Where is she?
Where in the world is?
Tall girl. Was just gonna say, if only I had an a cappella group to sing about this. Damn.
Definitely call some of our friends.
I mean, let's be honest,
If we
we.
just added to them to the Zoom, I think spontaneously they would be down for this.
Oh, 100%.
Okay, you guys have got under 30 seconds to come up with a variation of Carmen Sandiego for our podcast. Go.
Yeah, to be like, all right, they break it down and figure that out quickly.
You decision batch though? Like, I don't feel like you are also. About the house, maybe, but like I don't see you as a batcher.
No, I think sometimes, like, if I am looking to make a change in a schedule or a habit, and let's say, let me think, let's say I don't like the way I've been, my cleaning habits have been, or like the time when I focus on doing chores around the house, like the laundry and stuff like that. So maybe I will sit there and be like, all right, what is holding me up that I'm not getting it done the way I want to? So I will try and maybe I'll sit down and be like, well, if I do this, I hit this wall, and then I could try and like troubleshoot. So maybe I'll come up with a couple simple decisions that all at once based on troubleshooting a specific task or situation I'm trying to correct. But no, I don't think so. I tend to be When it comes up, we deal with it. Now, again, whether or not I enforce it or engage in making the decision, that's different. Sometimes that's delayed. And sometimes, let's be honest, there are decisions we want to make that we will never be able to make. There are things we would, the decision, if we had the complete no problems of it, okay, don't look at me like that. You don't mean to tell me that if we each were given the chance to tell a parent without any repercussions, without upsetting their sacred little souls, if you had the decision and you could tell them anything and everything they've ever done to annoy you without frustrating them or making them upset, you would do that? You wouldn't, I meant.
I don't think there's anything I mean, my mom knows about the Great Battle of Twine, so I think we've kind of voiced all those things to be.
I mean,
The
and okay, I'm saying
Twine
parent, take
Wars
it to
were really
whoever.
a like cathartic emotional situation for us.
I mean, there are decisions I would love to
Like, okay,
make.
as a teenager, I'm sure I would have loved to tell my mom off in every kind of variation and way, but I think as a teenager, you're just ready to battle the world because it should be your way or no way. And then, like, as an adult.
Or a former boss that
Well.
you would love to tell them any and all things that really went through your mind,
But
but
honestly, like, I wouldn't get anything. Long-term value of backtracking to somebody I haven't talked to in 6 years to tell them that they're a bald, petty SOB is like, I'm wasting energy on you that I don't want to expend. Like,
that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that there are times when there are decisions we would love to make,
I'll take this job and shove it. Yeah, I'd make that choice every day, but.
but we don't because of one reason or another. So there are decisions we still make, we just don't enforce.
I choose to not be violent every day.
I choose to drink coffee so I'm not violent every day.
Like, I make the choice to become caffeinated so you guys don't cry on the way to work. Like, you're welcome.
And conversely, I don't drink the caffeine so that I don't cry from the pain of the headaches and the migraines.
No, like, I mean, look, I choose to be nice. I definitely have it in me to be terrible. I choose to be nice because long term, like, I don't want to be mean, but that's a me choice. I really don't care how you feel. I care about how I will feel later. I'm being honest.
That's fair.
Okay.
No,
So,
it. Again, you're better at that than we are.
okay, but here's the question. Like, did you ever read when we were little those adventure books, like Choose Your Own Adventure? Did you actually like those? Because like, I was like, I don't want to have to make choices. Like, just write a good book from beginning to end. Why must I? Oh, what will happen if I go? So I have to read this book 18,000 times. I just know, write a good book all the way
Maybe.
through. I don't want to have to make choices in the middle.
Maybe that was the beginning of decision fatigue.
Probably.
That's where it began. And
Choose your
reading,
own
son
adventure
of a
book.
biscuit.
You've walked into the kitchen. Will you make breakfast or not? Like, what plot point is this?
Does this fix my life?
Why don't you tell me whether or not the character makes breakfast?
Because the character is you.
You are the character, tall girl. It's all about you.
It really is.
I
My decision is not to be the main character.
is a very healthy way to look at it.
I think
Lack of main character syndrome right here on this
people are
podcast.
so much more interesting than I am. They just don't talk about it. Like, I think that's the defining difference. Like, I'll run my mouth, but I'm not actually all that interesting. Other people are freaking fascinating, but mute.
And that is their
Why I talk
decision.
to so many people, because when you talk to the quiet people, oh my God, the things they will tell you, it's like, wow. And yet you choose to stay quiet, whereas I will flap my lips endlessly for almost no purpose whatsoever.
We like the talking that comes out of you.
It makes you feel more sane. You're welcome.
Don't know about that. I don't think I ever feel sane. Oh my God. That is, please
You
don't
felt
put that
sane
crown upon my head.
in
That is a
childhood.
heavy
Like, all got
burden.
my act together. I'm like, you make me so nervous. If you tell me you're a hot mess, I'm like, we can be friends. If you're like, my life is ordered and structured and never has any interruptions, like, no. Danger, Will Robinson, run.
All right, well then that's going to be a wrap on today's episode of Sense, Sensibility, and Chaos. Join us next week where our topic will be navigating awkward situations.
If you enjoyed this, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, or at least tell a friend who loves a good conversation and even better debates.
You can find us at Sense Sensibility Chaos, TikTok as long as it lasts, YouTube, Blue Sky, and your favorite podcast platforms, where we will be continuing the conversation, sharing extra thoughts, and probably spiraling into more chaos.
Because honestly, what's life without a little bit of that?
See you next time.
Until then, stay sensible. Or not.